Hi there, this is Pastor Tim. I'm the minister at Eastside Church. We are a United Methodist congregation in East Atlanta Village. We seek to be creative, historic, and inclusive. And we are thrilled that you found our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about our church community, you can visit us at www.eastsideatl.org. Well, good morning, friends. This is Pastor Tim from my kitchen, and it's Saturday evening, and as you can tell, we're doing things a little bit differently and even a little more different than we've been doing them. I've been struggling with my voice and thought it might be best for me to stay home and do this recording ahead of time for y'all. If you're a guest with us, we're thrilled that you're here. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you have felt as warmly welcomed as is possible with remote church as we're doing it. We look forward, hopefully, to a day when we will all be able to gather together in body in our beautiful sanctuary in East Atlanta. But we are honored and privileged and overjoyed that you're with us. And if you are a guest, just a little bit of context may be helpful in terms of where we've been in our preaching and teaching. Since January, we have been in a series we've titled Rooted and Grounded. And we borrowed that phrase from section of one of Paul's letters to an ancient community that was in Ephesus. And at the beginning of the year of 2020, before knowing the way that this year was going to unfold, we just had a sense that there's something about this rooted and groundedness that would be, that would resonate. And the way we've attacked it, the way we've entered into it, is we began with the rooted metaphor that Paul offers. And we used the rooted metaphor to make the comparison between organics, plant life, trees, and our own spiritual dimension. That part of us that has that divine DNA made in the image of God. And we walk through the kind of practices and ways that we can expand that part of our lives. And then, at the beginning of Lent, we moved from the rooted metaphor to the grounded. And we moved from the image of organics to that of architecture. And we moved from the individual to whole communities, asking the question, what kind of architecture is healthy and holistic? And what can we learn from the ancient church communities? So what we've been doing is walking through looking at the different communities in Scripture and the documents that were either letters written to them or accounts of their lives in their communities. And we began with Jesus and his disciples, the earliest Jesus society, if you will. And then we have been walking through the New Testament, and this morning we come to another ancient community, this one located in Colossae. And it's the letter to the Colossians, and it's interesting because the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to this community, but he's never met them, and he's learned about them through other means and ventures and conversations, but he's writing to a community he has not met, and this is a dense book of Scripture, and there's a lot you could do with Colossians, and we're going to just look at the first several verses of this text and walk through them because I think they help us see a lot about what Paul saw in from a distance that church community to whom he was writing. So friends, as I read, I invite you to listen to the word of God from Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You've heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learn from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work, and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. And may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Friends, the word of God for us, people of God, thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we gather in your name. We seek a fresh word from you. God, even though this message is pre-recorded, may it speak the way it needs to speak to those who encounter it. Speak through it, God, and where necessary, speak in spite of me. And as I preach, God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of all of our hearts would indeed be good, right, pleasing, acceptable in your sight. God, our rock, God, our redeemer, God, our savior. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So the text is honestly a sermon in itself, just laid bare as it stands. It is this beautiful, eloquent, rich writing. And it was really hard as I was working through Colossians to know exactly where to stop reading, because Paul doesn't really take much of a breath. So instead of trying to read an overabundance of the text, I would invite you to do that on your own time. And we're just going to look at the front end of this. And as I was reading this text, I was reminded of a brilliant sermon preached many years ago now by Rob Bell. And his sermon, it just sunk in deeply with these two words, grace and peace, where Paul begins, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Because if you stopped there and you created a church culture, an architectural society of believers who started every interaction with every other human with these two words, may the grace and peace of God be with you. Not just the words, the whole posture of our hearts. What if in the middle of this crazy world, even as we're avoiding people on the sidewalk with masks on, is it possible for us still to offer a posture of grace, a posture of peace in the middle of this? Grace, different definitions, but one of my favorite is the idea of unmerited favor, of gift. Reality offered from another that is simply undeserved. And it's not that grace just lets people off the hook for being jerks. It's not okay for any of us to be perpetual jerks. But grace is approaching whomever it might be with the love of the Creator, a heart that is being filled and shaped by a loving God. Grace, unmerited favor, a gift that we didn't and we don't even necessarily deserve, but a gift that ultimately will change us. This is why Paul follows, I think, grace with peace. Because if you If you know much about peace in the ancient Jewish imagination, it just comes from this Hebrew word shalom. And shalom had this big cosmic idea of being the world properly ordered, put together in such a way that it can be named and it's experienced as really good. Shalom, peace, is God's best actually being implemented in creation. Not even necessarily the way things were supposedly supposed to be, but the way the world could be. We aren't just fixing something that's broken. Though I think in this season it's pretty clear to everyone that the world is broken. But Paul, he invites us to participate in creating the world that God dreams for us and that God wants for us. Life is grace. Life is unmerited gift. Our here-ness, if I can make up a word, though yes, it is broken, it is imperfect, it is still gift. It starts with a grace for our fellow human beings. And the telos, the direction that grace pushes towards is shalom, is peace, is wholeness, is goodness, it's new life, and it's fixing things at the same time. Because there is always a new gift. The grace of God never runs out. And even when it feels like it might have, or like it should, God's grace approaches brokenness with unmerited favor and hope for transformation and ultimate good. Grace and peace, ultimate good. And Paul begins so many of his letters in this way, a clear intent that he hopes for, is praying towards, desires the ultimate good for those to whom he's writing. Instead of a premise of fear or suspicion or anger or bitterness or jealousy or hatred. What if we approached human beings, even in this crazy time, with an intent for their ultimate good? As a human collective, right now, today, more than ever, we need to be a people who are offering grace and peace and goodness and wholeness, a posture towards everybody of an undeserved love. Paul, he goes on to write in verse 3, in our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I love this, that Paul takes the time to pray for his church, or this church that he's never met, these people he doesn't even know. And he doesn't only pray for them, but he's praying for them when they don't know it. And his prayers aren't just petitions. They're just offerings of gratitude. It's like in Paul's time spent with God, sometimes he just says, I thank you, God, for the Colossians. I hear great things. Paul here says, I'm just thankful for you all. He goes on to write, we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints. The reason he is so overwhelmed with gratitude for this community is because apparently they were so exemplary that they have people talking about them. This church community, the news apparently was getting out. Apparently they had a good reputation that was preceding them, and that reputation was that this community was indeed good news for the world. Their faith in the Christ has led them to be a community who loved one another well. And so much so that Paul tells us, yo, the news has gotten out. Y'all, we've heard about you. You all have a faith in the Christ that is clearly translating into the way you love one another. A seriousness about the Christ, a trust in the Christ, transformation through following after our resurrected Lord. We have heard about your powerful faith in the Christ, and it clearly is translating into the love that you offer for your fellow humans. A faith in the Christ so profound that people were being transformed through this community to move from the normal default place of self-centeredness, of the narcissism we're all born with, but into these new kind of humans who have this crazy posture of grace and peace and love, even to people they've never met. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 5 that it's because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. They are a community rooted and grounded in hope. Paul uses the word heaven here, but that can be a little bit misleading. Paul's ultimate conception of heaven wasn't just that it was sort of an ethereal place where human souls got to go when their bodies gave way. Paul's conception of heaven is way larger and bigger and more robust. Paul, while he may have been the leader of the early Gentile movement, he was still himself thoroughly Jewish. And first century Judaism connected heaven with a future new creation. And it's all tied to shalom, to ultimate good, to everything being made new, to everything being made right. And Paul knows and he says, and we know, we need reminded that that hope, that posture has the capacity to root and to ground us even in the middle of a storm, even in the middle of a pandemic. Resurrection hope. And we're still in the Easter season. And our resurrection hope is made real through the Christ, through God's emptying of the tomb. Because one empty tomb means that eventually they're all going to be empty. And it's grounded in a stone that has been rolled away. So the calling of these verses 2,000 years later under quarantine or social distancing and isolation is maybe to simply begin by offering grace and peace to one another. To offer a grace that is seeking to bring about God's ultimate good in the lives of those around us. Resurrection is tied to shalom, is tied to ultimate good, and our hope is in God's ultimate good for each of us, the future of God's creation. God brought us into the world, into being, and Christian hope is that that being never ceases. And that, my friends, is good news. And may that root us, may that ground us once again. And may we always practice a posture of grace and peace, maybe now more than ever. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.
Well, we hope that you've enjoyed this week's message, and we look forward to seeing you soon. If you listen from afar and you would like to support the work that we are doing in East Atlanta and on Atlanta's East Side, you can visit our website, www.eastsideatl.org, and find our giving portal there.